This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 right now, Thursday, the 21st of April. I've got Ibrahim Sani, Julian Ng with me. Ibrahim, what do we have lined up for the next half an hour?
Well, we've got the Panama Papers, we've got Coke, Public Bank, mostly consumer themes actually, including the March inflation rate.
Okay, very nice. Let's take a look at the Panama Papers now. The US Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation into tax avoidance schemes exposed by the Panama Papers. So the US Attorney for Manhattan has made an announcement in a letter asking for help from the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. If you remember, they were the ones with the help of other media outlets to report on the leaked documents from Mossack Fonseca.
That's right. So the ICIJ is being called upon by the DOJ to actually move towards those individuals that is named in the Panama Papers. This is the first country that is going after the folks inside Panama Papers. No other country has done so. The closest that anyone has said so that they will do something about it is the Panama Attorney General. But we're highly suspicious about this because, well, you're the Attorney General of the country that originated from these papers. So for a third party like the US to come in, that reflects a lot in this.
Actually, a lot of accusations have been hurled against the ICIJ for being funded by American interests. If you go to their website, you know, they list a list of donors, for example, the Open Society Foundation, the Ford Foundation. So questions of the independence of the ICIJ have been put forward. The Open Society Foundation is, for example, under George Soros. And you know, you'll also have funders like the Rockefeller family and the Carnegie Endowment. So regardless of who funds it and I guess what the motivations are behind the revelations of the Panama Papers, I think it's a good thing that this is an expose and that we can actually move forward from this. Now, the US itself has the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, where they can really fine local citizens who commit these acts in foreign lands. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is the fact that people are speculating that ICIJ is funded by the US is actually quite true as well, because no American is mentioned in the Panama Papers.
200, actually.
Oh, 200.
200, but it's unbelievable that I guess you can say that US politicians are always above board. None of the US politicians are mentioned. A lot of these people who are mentioned in the US, Americans who are mentioned in Panama Papers, are the
Fortune 500 companies?
I don't know. They're like unknown billionaires.
Yeah. Unknown billionaires.
A lot of them are have got immigration names. They seem like foreigners.
Migrant names. Mm-hmm.
Migrant names within the American society.
But this is in contrast towards what we have here, and largely because campaign finance in the U.S. is an extremely well-written law. This is by the Federal Election Commission, the FEC. It allows for the U.S. politicians to have many proxies, all of them legal. So it's no surprise that none is mentioned in the Panama Papers.
Well, Obama's trying to bring this down to a level that the rest of us can understand, that the non-billionaires with offshore accounts in Panama. He says that a lot of the problem is that a lot of this stuff is legal. It's not illegal. So the loopholes come at the expense of middle-class families because that lost revenue has to be made up somewhere, right?
That's right. But again, a lot of condemnation, but no action so far. In fact, Christine Lagarde, the MD of the IMF, has said that the world's financial regulators has long been alarmed by Panama's lax approach in taxation. But there's not much that the IMF can do on taking actions against these billionaires who hide away the money.
Okay, so it's over to the DOJ then.
That's right. I think also to prevent this kind of leakages out of countries, you need a kind of international effort. We all know that the US companies have a lot stashed overseas, and these monies are protected from local taxation. CNN a few days ago reported that the top 50 US companies held about $1.5 trillion outside of the United States. United States. Now, I think this will undermine domestic economic policies because corporations, they use a lot of local labor, local intellectual property, and local infrastructure resources. But then when they make a lot of profits, they send that money out. So there is a sense that there's huge unfairness in this kind of thing. And it's almost criminal, right?
It is almost criminal, but
it is criminal. In fact, not almost. It is criminal.
So the thing that they're doing right now is called the Double Irish. It's not a drink. It's actually a taxation move where you make billions out of US or in US. You put it in Ireland. You push it around Netherlands, Bermuda, and so on. Push it back to Ireland as if Ireland is the corporation, or the corporation in Ireland makes that money. So that has translated to billions of dollars being saved in terms of tax expense. Microsoft reduced its federal tax bill by 44%. This was confirmed in 2011. Corporate tax in Google was reduced by 12% last year. So you have tangible benefits if you do the Double Irish. So is it morally right? That's the question.
Yeah, the ethical side of that.
Also, I think that not forgetting the inclusion of Malaysians in the Panama Papers, there was also a data dump of a whole list of Malaysians who have set up in Panama. These names include Kamaluddin Abdullah, who's the son of ex-Prime Minister Abdullah Ahmad Badawi, Mirzan Mahathir, one Nazifuddin Najib, Mahathir's brother-in-law, Muhammad Hisham Muhammad Ali, Sultan Ibrahim Ismail of Johor, Abdul Aziz bin Taufik Aiman, who's the husband of Bangladesh Governor Zeti. Now, we're not saying that it is wrong to, or even illegal to set up tax havens, but I guess there is a vacuum of clarification, and we need to know more about how, we need to talk more about this. And
yeah, have I think open conversations.
It is now more than ever that we need rules for asset declarations by our politicians and people who are in public office.
For sure. 7:42 right now. Let's take a look at Coca-Cola, because they just recently announced that their sales for the fourth quarter, their sales fell for the fourth straight quarter, and this is because demand for fizzy drinks have declined in Europe, unsurprisingly. But to make matters worse, a strong dollar had eroded the value of sales in markets outside the US.
That's right, but global sales volume is up by 2%. There is a lot of drops in some segments, including North America, including Europe. But I think this is more a story of the consumer sentiment moving away from fizzy drinks, particularly in the UK, because there's a sugar tax that was implemented last month, if I'm not mistaken. So people are becoming more health conscious, and Coca-Cola, well, eventually will lose customers.
Apparently, they are coming out with a small can of Coke, like instead of our normal Coke can sizes that we're used to, they're coming out with the smaller ones.
Well, they've changed the packaging of the cans,
have
right?
They? I've not consumed Coke for decades now.
It's slightly different. I don't know whether it's the volume has changed, but you know, that's all kind of part of their rebranding. I think they also just announced in the US that they are going to change the rebranding of the can. It's no longer going to be different colours. You know, we have the silver for Coke Light, and then Diet Coke, and black for Coke Zero, all that. They want to make it all red, and then you won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, right. So the last marketing fiasco Coca-Cola did was in the introduction of this thing called the New Coke. They got Danny Glover on it. Sales dropped tremendously during the 80s and 90s because of that. This might be one of those, another marketing fiasco.
But you know, whatever's happening in the West or in the America or Europe for Coca-Cola, clearly they see the growth happening here in Malaysia. I think recently or yesterday, they announced that they are investing here locally with a new production line in Nilai. So I guess perhaps the trend of, you know, the healthier options for consumers may not have landed on our shores yet.
Well, Malaysia is in fact one of the most obese cities in Southeast Asia. So we have to be really careful about that. And especially if the new small form Coke comes into play, the idea is that it's good if you just consume one can. That means you're drinking less of the sugary stuff. But if you drink many, many small cans, that's still equivalent to one big can,
but
right?
But to be fair, Coke Coca-Cola has kind of turned more health conscious. They've cut back a lot on their fizzy drinks. They're turning to teas and juices and smoothies.
Yeah, they sell a lot more than just soda. They're a huge conglomerate which has many, many brands. And it's one of Warren Buffett's favorite stock. He says that this is a company with the moat to protect earnings, long-term earnings growth. And he's many times seen in the AGM of Berkshire Hathaway sporting a
drinking
can of Coke.
Can
his
of
favorite
Coke.
Is Cherry Coke.
There you go. That's a huge endorsement right there. 7:45 right now. More business news coming up after this on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.